Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Would you please be seated? In 2005, a definitive piece of cinema hit the movie theaters. It was iconic. It was breathtaking. 21 years later, parts of this movie still give me chills. It was Batman Begins. As you might remember, this is an origin story for Batman. A young Bruce Wayne goes away, receives his training, comes back to Gotham City, runs into his childhood friend, Rachel Dawes, and he's playing the act. He's being the playboy of Gotham City. And Rachel confronts him about it. Why are you doing these things? And he tries to defend himself. All this, he says, it's not me. Inside, I am more. And Rachel replies, Bruce, deep down, you may still be that great kid you used to be. It's not who you are underneath. It's what you do that defines you. Now, a caveat. Bruce Wayne is not a good role model. He is at best a high-functioning sociopath. But Rachel's trying to tell him that the real him is not the story he tells about his intentions. It's not the show that he puts on. It's what issues from the heart into action. Today, we're going to talk about the heart and about how God looks on the heart, and with Matthew's gospel, discuss the terrifying and life-giving reality that our actions, in some ways, reveal who we are underneath. So turn with me to our gospel passage today. We start with this passage from the story about the Pharisees. And you'll notice I left the parentheses, or we left the parentheses in the bulletin in part to show that our lectionary, our three-year reading cycle, has suggested lengthenings of the readings. And so I've included the suggested lengthening in today about the Pharisees. Jesus called the crowd to him and said to them, "Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles." Then the disciples approached and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?" Now, even though we've used the suggested lengthening, the lectionary has still skipped the first 10 verses of Matthew chapter 15. In those verses, the Pharisees come to Jesus to ask, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands before they eat." Jesus retorts sharply about how the Pharisees let their traditions trump the law, citing the command to honor mother and father, which they are breaking. But why did the Pharisees take offense? Well, they have taken ritual purity as a marker of their identity. It shows who they are over against the Gentiles who have invaded the land. Not only that, it shows who the Pharisees are over against the other Jews who have different understandings of how to keep God's law. They called themselves zealous for the law, and this was as much a political statement as anything. Some Pharisaical groups supported violence against the Romans. It's no accident that Saul of Tarsus, who will become the Apostle Paul, calls himself zealous for the law when he goes to Damascus to round up Christians by force. Jesus was claiming a different order than the one they were trying to protect. But Jesus, in response, says something mystifying. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles. And he goes on to call the Pharisees blind guides leading the blind. That kind of leadership doesn't end well for anyone. But it's not just the Pharisees who don't see clearly, the disciples also don't see clearly. But Peter said to him, "Explain this parable to us." Then he said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. For out of the heart come evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile." Do you not see? If you eat with unclean hands, the food can't make you unclean because it goes right out the other side. Jesus is hilarious, if we will let him be. This is stuff that I would not allow at my kitchen table. Jesus says, this stuff that you're so worried about, it can't get to your heart. It goes in and it goes out. Now, the Gospel of Mark takes this saying of Jesus and says that through it, Jesus has declared that all foods are clean, something that we get later in the book of Acts. But Matthew seems to keep it in the context of whether or not your hands are clean when you eat, whether or not you are following these guidelines of ritual purity. But Jesus is again making that deeper point. Food does not necessarily touch your heart. It's not what goes into your mouth, but what comes out of it. Because what comes out of the mouth comes from the heart, from whence evil intentions come. All these things that he lists. And in listing those things, he starts with disobedience or dishonoring of parents, and he lists these other things. He is leveling the most devastating critique against the Pharisees that he can in just these few verses. He has accused them of breaking 5 of the 10 commandments. When the prophet Samuel... This is a story the Pharisees should have known. When the prophet Samuel went to anoint a new king, he thought God would choose the biggest and oldest of Jesse's sons. God responded, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." The Pharisees force the ceremonial washing of hands while breaking the law in so many other ways, but God looks on the heart and what you allow to come out of it. And God sees that their hearts are full of wickedness, and that wickedness comes out in their actions. Because of the Pharisees' hearts, they cannot be a source of blessing for the world. What they do defines them. I'm hammering this point home about the heart because Christian growth, as we grow up in Christ, this growth transforms the seat of our desires, the very depth of our soul, the heart, or what we might call the will. In ascetical theology, or the theology of prayer and spiritual growth, we talk about the soul having 3 parts: the imagination, the reason, and the will. And spiritual growth is about the transformation of the will. Now, I don't want you to think in modern terms here, because we think of willpower when we think of will, right? Willpower is how we exert control over our desires and force them in a new direction. And this is really the operation of the reason, trying to force something on the will against its desires. And those of us who've tried to faithfully work a diet know how that goes. Our spiritual parents knew, though, that there was something deeper than willpower. The will, like the heart that Jesus discusses here, is the seat of our desires. This is where our desires live. And our transformation as Christians is the transformation of our desires, of our wills, of our hearts. And what Jesus is saying is that while the Pharisees seem to have their stuff in order, what they are doing has no impact on what really matters. Their wills, their hearts are not being transformed. They may be clean on the outside, but they give consent to thoughts of murder, adultery, theft, lying, etc. And God sees past their outward appearance. God sees them. But why make this digression into the theology of prayer and spiritual growth? Because in the very next paragraph, Jesus meets a person with a very different heart. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. There he meets a Canaanite woman. She shouts for mercy. The disciples say, "Send her away." And he names his own boundaries, right? Like, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she's not taking no for an answer. She comes and kneels before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he says, he again sets his boundary. "It's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." And she says, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." And Jesus sees it. "Woman, great is your faith." So there is a lot that could be said about this story. I think we could preach probably 60 sermons on it. But let's keep our context narrow for today. We just saw Pharisees that were clean on the outside, but unclean on the inside. Now we meet a woman who is unclean on the outside. She's a Canaanite. She's a woman. Her daughter has a demon. Not only does she eat with unwashed hands, she eats unclean food. But somehow, Jesus seems to recognize that she is clean on the inside. Driven by her heart, the deepest part of her soul, she goes to Jesus. She goes to where she can get help. And when Jesus sets up the boundary, this gives her an opportunity to show with her mouth what's true on the inside. What goes in doesn't defile, but what comes out of the mouth comes from the heart. What he could not find in the Pharisees, he finds here. "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. Because of her heart, she was a source of blessing for her daughter, and through her daughter, for the world. So both these stories sitting together, what I want us to take away is that God sees us. God sees you. For the Pharisees, that was bad news. For the Canaanite woman, that was really, really good news. How is it landing for you this week? If it feels like bad news, remember that the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. In holy baptism, Jesus claims us as his own forever. We are the siblings of Jesus. We are God the Father's children. Nothing can separate us, Paul says, from the love of God and Jesus Christ our Lord, not even the brokenness, not even the division, not even the falseness of our hearts. God wants to transform those hearts to desire and act in ways that please him and bring us lasting peace and joy. So I want you to remember the journey that I talked about at the beginning of our service, the journey of our heart that we go on every Sunday, opening our hearts, offering our hearts to God in the Eucharist, and receiving them back with gladness and singleness of heart at the end of our service as we are sent. So if God seeing you feels like bad news, good news. You're in exactly the right place. This is where God is healing and restoring our hearts to send us back out into his world. And if you're like the Canaanite woman who people judge just by what they see, then maybe God seeing you feels like good news right now. And if that's true, then spend some time rejoicing in that love this week. Maybe spend some time paying attention to the way the Spirit moves in your heart. And maybe, like we talked about last week, take a step out of the boat to walk on the water with Jesus. Jesus saw the Pharisees' hearts were unclean, but he also saw faith where he least expected it, where everyone least expected it. So rejoice. God sees who you really are, and God loves you no matter what. Spend some time this week rejoicing in God's love for you. At the end of this epic piece of cinema, at the end of Batman Begins, Batman repeats back to Rachel what she had told Bruce. It's not who I am underneath, but what I do that defines me. He told her who he was, Bruce Wayne, the person who makes these choices, not the kid he was or the person he might be later. And it just gets something a little wrong. It's not who I am underneath, but what I do that defines me. If Jesus is right about the connection of the heart and our mouth and what comes out of our mouth, it's what I do that reveals what's underneath. Now, as I said earlier, don't go be Batman this week. He is not a good role model. But take this away. God is after the heart, and not just any heart, your heart. He purifies your heart with his love every week in the Eucharist, so that having received the blessing, your heart may, you may, be a source of blessing for the world. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.